Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about, in this part of the program, about a prophet by the name of Leonard Ravenhill. If you haven't got his book, it's In Light of Eternity. And I love what he has on his tombstone. Presently, I think that's what I'd like to have, is what you're living for worth Christ dying for?
Yeah.
Is that powerful?
Yes.
That means every time somebody comes by your grave, you're still preaching the gospel. That's your whole reward still hasn't come in yet. That's Isn't that
good.
Cool?
Yeah.
That is so cool. And Charles Sepiel's reading this book, and it's a story about his life and his journey. I thought was pretty interesting. But this one particular article in there, and this man, explain some of his impact, John, as I'm looking this up.
This is a tremendous man of God gift to the church at large. This was a prophet who spoke incredible truth. This is a man of deep prayer, and it was very serious about God and the church and the church's destiny. And this man is from London. And I can remember some really amazing stories. In fact, it's interesting that the title of the book is called In Light of Eternity, because one of his famous quotes is to stamp eternity on your mind, on your forehead, and to live with it, with that perspective. But he's from London, and even from an early age in his life, when he was a young man, they would him and his friends would just go, you know, across the countryside and just preach these revivals. Intense. Right. They'd sleep in.
Well, I have that right here. So I was going to talk about that. This particular newspaper that was writing an article on them in 1925. This man by the name of Samuel Chadwick, during a particular period of time, he just had this. He saw this. Believe it or not, this is what it says. He began to ponder over the spiritual conditions of the world. All around, there were signs of moral collapse and economic failure.
Wow.
It's like, hey, this is like 1925. Worse still was the neglect of religion, the Sabbath, and the church. And so he had this vision of getting together a whole bunch of young guys and leading to the Lord, training them up and launching them out. And this paper writes about them. That's what I wanted to be able to share about the teams. You continue talking, try to talk about this, that he would send them out. He says, this paper writes, it says, this is his vision. He would send forth a band of young men full of faith in the Holy Ghost to preach Christ to the multitudes unreached and unsought by the church, and they will receive no salary. This is important, because if you want to reach a people, the last place you got to go to, you need to go to, is the people who think they already have God already.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be the most difficult folks to reach, because they don't understand. The Pharisees did not understand that you don't have God yet.
Yeah, they're blind.
They're blind. And so he sent them out the street, and then he sent them out with no salary. Well, that would really, we're not talking lettuce here, Steve Hill said. He said, they will go as they are led, in other words, led by the Spirit, and they will live by faith. No collections will be taken, no subscriptions, which I guess partnerships on an annual basis, will be solicited, no favors begged, but they will tramp, which is camp, from place to place, preaching and testifying and singing in the streets, marketplaces and village green pastures and beaches, depending upon where they're going to be at. And this was his vision, to be able to send them out. And so Ravenhill was one of those teams that was going to go out. And this was his vision. The paper was writing about it. And they would just show up. They go about 30 miles a day. And they would just go, because when I would hear about Ravenhill, I didn't understand the original, how it happened. I thought he just got this call and he went. But really, Chadwick got this vision of that the only way we're going to be able to change things is to train and launch. We're going to train, you know, groups up and launch them out and just have them infiltrate society to begin to share the love of God and win folks to the Lord. And they were winning. They had a song that they would sing. It was something about almost like the millionaire down to the poorest person. They're bringing them all to the Lord. But think about it. In that day, 1925, you know, not having, I mean, there was no Holiday Inns. There were, besides, there was no collections. And so they have a picture of them sitting on the side of the street in the bushes, you know, eating something and and as happy as they can be.
Yeah. Slept in tents.
Yes.
And just wanted to do the you know, God's will, you know, reach souls. This is an awesome man. I've actually, there's recordings of him, and then I have actually cassette tapes of his messages, and they're so just filled with fire and conviction and passion. But this man was also an incredibly humble man. He was not about any kind of self-promotion at all. In fact, he was very good friends with A.W. Tozer, another just amazing man of God, and they were very good friends. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it said that one of the reasons why Leonard Ravenhill is not as popular as A.W. Tozer are well known is because he just never promoted himself at all. Mm-hmm. But this man was spiritual father to Steve Hill. He's spoken to the lives of Dr. Brown, Michael Brown.
Christ for the Nations.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I believe even Keith Green, he's spoken to Keith Green's life.
Oh, wow.
Worship leader who passed and went to be with the Lord in the 70s or in the Jesus movement, I believe.
Yeah,
and
he did.
Just absolutely awesome.
I got pictures of him in this book with him sitting with Keith.
Yeah, the impact of his life is just amazing. I've heard stories of men that had to preach in the same conference. Other men of God said, I don't even want to preach when Leonard Ravenhill is there. I don't even want to be there because he was just very serious about holiness. Mm. Holiness, holiness, holiness. And that was his main message, holiness and repentance. In fact, he's one of... he's well known for a book called Why Revival Tarries. And again, you know, about repentance in America, repentance around the world, a man of prayer. His son, David Ravenhill, was an instructor here in the Gulf Coast area for School of Ministry, Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, and has just continued his father's legacy. But just amazing.
What I thought was pretty interesting in reading parts of his book was that Charles Stanley in the 70s, I believe it was the 70s, he writes about how there was a powerful move taking place at Charles Stanley's church and in Atlanta. And he was preaching and Charles had told him basically everything is good in the congregation. Everything's fine. And he didn't preach, he didn't know if he had anything left to preach. And all of a sudden he just felt like the Lord led him to preach on, prodigals, and he's thinking, oh my goodness, Charles is not going to like this, mm-hmm. you know, because obviously he thinks prodigals here. So he spoke on prodigal fathers, and when he finished talking about prodigal fathers, prodigal, you know, that left the Lord, man, the altar is just flooded with fathers just weeping and crying. And then after praying for them, they went back and they prayed for prodigal children, mm-hmm. and then the children mm-hmm. came.
Wow.
And then they told him at that point, this is what's written about his book, he's going to go out the back or something in the church, and the church tells him, don't go out back because that particular building back there is filled with homosexuals. That's what he said. And Leonard says, you know, what are you talking about?
Right.
And so the next thing you know, the whole altar is filled with all these folks that were in the homosexual lifestyle and getting saved. And so Charles comes up and says, Leonard tells Charles, you pray for these guys. And he started to pray for him, and he said, I can't pray for him because the only thing I ever prayed to this point was that they would actually leave the city.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And Leonard Ravenhill's heart, he loved people. He loved everybody. And he knew that anybody could be saved if they come to the Lord. Mm. And, of course, he was broken based on what he's writing about this book, that he shouldn't have felt that way. And he realized all this time, I should have been loving on these people instead of rejecting them and just, you know what I'm saying, that type of thing. I thought, man, that's just so powerful.
Wow.
Because everybody's created in the image and the likeness of God. God loves us. I mean, he loves us. He has a plan for your life, and there's nothing too dark or too wrong that God cannot forgive us and cleanse us. I thought it was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
A pretty powerful thing. And that, you know, some people, you know, preach their preferences and pray out their preferences versus like God wants every man to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And if you want to find out more, we'll make it available, access to it. In Light of His Integrity, it's the biography of Leonard Ravenhill.
We'll be right back.
If you would drive through this area, you would see the devastation. It's just crazy the amount of devastation. House is totally gone. Apartment complex behind me here. People still don't have electric water. We're bringing them food. Yesterday I brought about 200 meals out here to them yesterday. and we came back tonight to give them dinner. When I saw Operation Blessing, I seen exactly what they were doing, how they were setting up the organization. They were so organized. They came in with the food trailers. They had everything set in place to know that they need to get the management of it out there so they can control a lot of the volunteer work. So it goes a lot smoother by having Operation Blessing involved, and they get involved with different churches. So anything anybody can do to help Operation Blessing, they're amazing people, the people that are running this show, and they do great work, and it's an amazing thing to watch and see. It's actually a blessing to sit back and observe the love and compassion, because that's the biggest thing that you see when you're here. You get all the gratefulness from the people, but you get to see the love and compassion. Now, if you can't make it here, there's other ways you can help and serve also these people that are in such need right now, by going to ob.org and partnering with them so that they can get supplies to bring out here, because believe me, the semi trucks are rolling in. I saw probably 10 of them today. And they'll utilize that to the best abilities for these people out here, because they are truly, truly in need.
In 1943 America, Dennis Day was singing "I'll Be Home for Christmas."
In Germany, 800 prisoners of the Third Reich were awaiting trial in a military prison. Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer was among them, hoping to be released by Christmas. That didn't happen.
In December 1943, Bonhoeffer wrote a Christmas letter from his prison cell. He wrote that it could be easy to despair, but that this Christmas would be more meaningful to those in such a lonely and desolate place. He wrote that Jesus was born in a stable because there was no room for him in the inn. A prisoner grasps this better than others.
After being moved from one prison and concentration camp to another, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed in April 1945.
Engage with the Bible and words of hope in perilous times.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Just speaking about, you know, having not wanting to miss what God's doing in the world. And the truth is, we became very self-focused as Americans and even American Christians. I mean, think about it. If other nations became as blessed as America is, and America went down to a third world nation, how many missionaries would all of a sudden there would be going, like, you know, I want to go to that capital nation that's got, right, you know, great living, you know, but it's difficult. You know, this is what Jesus said. I mean, he said it. He just said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. Mm. And the disciples' response was, well, then who can go? He said, and this is how significant it is. He goes, well, what's impossible with man is possible with God. And you have to really be very careful when you're blessed that you don't all of a sudden make the blessing your God. Mm. And the rich young ruler, think about the rich young ruler. He would... You know, he thought he was right. He thought he was right because he said, what do I got to do to be saved? And Jesus began to explain, you know, don't, you know, commit adultery and these different things. And he goes, I've done this since all of my life, you know. Mm-hmm. Here you can see it, right?
All 13 years old.
Yeah. Was he 13?
I know. I'm just joking.
I was like, I thought he was older than that.
I'm just joking.
Anyway, so he, yeah, right, though. And so Jesus says, oh, yeah, one more thing. If you're going to go through the eye of the needle, you know, if you're going to get into the kingdom of God, for him, he had to give everything he had to the poor, because that was his God. It's not that you have to give everything, but maybe so. I mean, think about it. But to him, that was his God, because you found out he chose that God, the God of money and wealth, over God, over Jesus. He chose that. And he says he walked away sad because he had many things. And you think about... Francis Chan, I mean, it challenges you in living small and living flexible. And they move. He's just willing to move into to do anything to do whatever God said. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
To be able to see that. And I think, you know, one thing you said on the break, John, is important for us to you talk about global citizens now, and you're starting, and it's like people say, you're talking one world economy. Well, it's kind of obvious when you can email to China in 5 seconds mm-hmm. and you can buy your products at great discounts from, you know, India. And I mean, you're not going to be able to stop that happening. The question is that going to be your God?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a, you know, global citizen is that you start thinking about, well, what we're doing here, we cannot enslave an entire nation to feed our nation low income, low priced products. We start mm-hmm. thinking about, you know, the reason why this company has such low prices is because this other country, for example, in India, is paying, you know, dollars, where we pay thousands of dollars, right. They pay dollars for, and that's why you get it at a lower price. So as a global citizen, you start, some people take advantage of that by doing that, but you were talking about being global Christians, right?
That's right. The perspective is put all the emphasis on exactly what you just been saying, when in reality, we need to put our focus as a global Christian so that we're just not focusing on what's happening in our own country or in the kingdom of God as we're experiencing it in our nation, but to look at the kingdom of God across the globe and relate that that person's not just a Chinese citizen of China, mm-hmm. but hopefully that's my brother and sister who just happens to be Chinese, or if they're not in the Lord, they haven't received salvation, we're looking at them not as an enemy or a competitor because of the trade market, but we're looking at them as people that we want to be able to reach with the love of God. And it just changes our whole paradigm. When mm-hmm. you start mixing politics and start looking geography and
right.
casting judgment over a nation because of its leaders,
right.
you're looking at the wrong perspective. We have, as Christians, as believers, we have to look at all the people in the world and say, man, forget this global citizen stuff. I mean, it happens, sure, but we need to be global Christians. How can we reach the nations of the world?
E pluribus unum, right?
Yeah.
E pluribus unum. And so you think about that, and I was just thinking about some cookies that Donna had purchased at a low price, right? And I was thinking, there's no way that this particular, I'm not going to talk about the chain that had these particular cookies. I said, there's something not right. And so I looked on, you know, where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, this is how things are seem to be masked. It says, you know, it's distributed by a company out of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you can call this number if you have any information. So you call the number, and that was not a Tennessean on the phone.
Oh, wow.
And they goes, that's a very good question. And, you know, and it's like, you know, where did those cookies come from? Mm. Where does this product come from? And why is it so cheap? And we have to ask questions like that. Are we okay? Yeah, we want, because, you know, we have a horrific history in America where we enslaved part of our people for a long period of time. And we see how bad that is. But I see people who say it's bad, and it maybe even their in their genealogy, they had members of their family that were enslaved. At the same time, go down and get this great priced item from a local store, not realizing a slave made that item in another nation that got paid $2 a week to be able to make that. And it's like, we got a, you know, a global Christian is where we start thinking like, well, slavery's not only bad in our nation, slavery's bad in every nation.
That's right.
If I got to live with the same shirt for a whole week, you know what I'm saying? If I got to keep my clothes longer to make sure that other people are not enslaved. I mean, how many people are being enslaved right now because people want that best price?
Mm.
And that's why the economy, the markets are turning to Asia, because Asia has people that are putting together, this is some reports, people that were putting together the iPhone, or building parts of the iPhone, where some of them were jumped off the roof, or one of them was reported jumped off the roof of the building to commit suicide, reports are.
Wow.
Because of the oppressive nature of what's going on. And I'm not saying, I don't have the facts on that, so I just know what is allegedly being said. But also there has been where they've taken American businessmen and basically locked them in the building over there and wouldn't let them out because of the way they were treating the workers. And it's just like, it's not, everything costs,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything costs. Somebody said this, it said, you know, when the economy crashes and when these different things happen, that money doesn't disappear. It just shifts. And the thing is, you have to position yourself to where it's going to shift. Well, if you're still wearing shirts and pants and clothes and all this kind of stuff, it's still being made. There's somebody in the process of making this thing. So the labor shifted. And if the labor shifts and the price goes down, it means now the laborer is getting paid less money for the thing. So the reason why you got such a good deal is because potentially somebody that is under oppression in the workplace in some other nation made that.
Yeah. What's even happening in this nation, you look at some of the way that some folks have been brought over to this country to work and some of the housing conditions, you know, you wouldn't put an animal in some of those housing conditions. Mm. People stack 3 and 4 stories in a bed, very narrow, and just being fed. And we got to look at all these type of things, you know, who's building the homes and what type of labor was involved in it, who are you hiring, and all those different things, because at the end of the day, can we sleep comfortably knowing that we're living in a home that was built by somebody who's just being taken advantage of?
And if you don't live as a global Christian, I really believe you're going to miss out on what God's doing, because it's a worldwide thing God's doing. And one aspect of being a global Christian is thinking about Israel. You're thinking about what is God's perspective of Israel and what's happening, and staying tuned maybe to VFN TV and Daily Radio Program to stay up on what's going on and go into the VFN torch.
We'll be right back.
Everybody will love it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I mean, when you love the Word of God, I mean, it's exciting in your abiding time. By the way, beginning to abide now. Learning how to abide with God is so important, because he says, apart from abiding in me, Jesus said, you can't even do any of this. And we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You know, most people want to abide. They want to spend that time with God, but they need a plan. We have a free plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You just fill out that little simple request thing. It comes right to you in your email, and it's a great step-by-step.
It's beautiful.
How you can begin to abide with him. Listen, you want to begin to hang out with the king, since his kingdom is manifesting.
Right.
It's be the greatest thing he's ever done in the face of the earth. It's about to happen. You want to know the king.
Whoever owns the narrative owns the culture, and whoever owns the culture empowers the ideology.
How to have a peaceful life. You know, a wisdom moment for today is from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. And this is so important because it talks about having a safe, easy, fearless life, if you would. This Psalms 133 says, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Think about that. That's so powerful. Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. And when you think about, you know, listening to the Lord, that person will live in safety. Safety is defined as a state of being safe, freedom from occurrences of risk of injury, danger, or loss. You think about that. Another part of the definition is secure from liability of harm, injury, danger, or risk. Did you ever think about listening to God? You've been listening to everybody else. Did you ever think about listening to him? Think about it. He's saying if you listen to him, he who listens to him will live in safety. You know why? Because God's plans are good towards us. He has plans to bless us and to prosper us and defend us from us. There's a lot of things going on continually trying to harm us. But if we will listen to him, you know, for example, a prudent man sees danger and prepares, but a fool keeps going and suffers for it. Well, you have to first hear God to tell you there's danger coming. If you listen to him, it's not that danger won't stop, but God will prepare you to survive the danger that's coming because you listened to God. Then he says, whoever listens to God will also be at ease. I mean, think about the word ease. The word ease is defined as freedom from, and notice that the word you'll hear over and over again in the definition, freedom from labor, pain, or physical annoyances. You'll have tranquil rest and comfort. Just this ease in your life. Freedom from concern, anxiety. You have solitude, a quiet state of mind. You see them folks, it's like
they're like just anxious all the time and just plotting and planning. It's like, I'm just looking at you, I get worn out. And you find out they're not listening to God. They're not listening to God. They're running. They're checking with themselves, but they're not checking with God. And so that's what we're telling you. When we tell you to you need to abide, this is what you're getting when you abide. You actually, you're listening to God. And more definition to be at ease is those who listen to God or live a life at ease. You're able to have a life at ease. It's freedom from difficulty, of great effort, of freedom from financial need and a place of plenty. It's easy for you. Freedom from stiffness, constraint, or formality. You're just kind of relaxed. They say, you know, just take it easy. Just kind of take it easy. And you can enjoy life. And if you listen to us, you would think, well, my goodness, they're talking about, you know, some pretty major things going on. And it's like, but we listen to God. That's how we can laugh and enjoy and say, well, how can you be so peaceful in the midst of what's going on? It's like, well, because if you just listen to God. And that's what abiding is. He says, whoever listens to the Lord, whoever listens to me, Proverbs 1:33, will live in safety and be at ease. I mean, your life is, you're protected and you're enjoying this thing called life that God's given you. And finally, he says, and without harm. And harm is defined, or fear of harm. Without fear of harm. And fear is defined as a distressing emotion aroused by impending doom, danger, evil, pain. But here it comes. Oh, my goodness. I knew it was always going to happen. Oh, my goodness. It's like, you don't listen to God. Mm-hmm. You don't listen to God. Somebody says, well, I listen to God. He said there's impending doom. But he's going to give you wisdom on how to be able, you have nothing to fear. God's going to protect those that are his. He's going to protect you like a good fig. He's going to put a mark on you. And no, nothing's going to come near your dwelling. You have to understand. If you listen to God, you understand that. And without fear of harm, and harm is defined as physical injury, mental danger or hurt, moral injury, evil or wrongdoing. So many people are scared to follow God because they have a fear of not being safe anymore, not having an easy life. And fear of harm coming their way. And the reality was, the opposite's going to take place in your life. This is what he says. He says in Proverbs 1:33 in this wisdom moment, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. How do you do that? Find out how you can do that at iabide.org. iabide.org. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.